Chapter 29 Credit Creation by Commercial Banks Page 217 Do banks create credit? The creation of credit or deposits is one of the most important functions of commercial banks. Like other corporations, banks aim at earning profits. For this purpose, they accept cash in demand deposits and advance loans on credit to customers. When a bank advances a loan, it does not pay the amount in cash, but it opens a current account in his name and allows him to withdraw the required sum by checks. In this way, the bank creates credit or deposits. Demand deposits arise in two ways. One, when customers deposit currency with commercial banks, and two, when banks advance loans, discount bills, provide overdraft facilities, and make investments through bonds and securities. The first type of demand deposits are called primary deposits. Banks play a passive role in opening them. The second type of demand deposits are called derivative deposits. Banks actively create such deposits. Do banks really create credit or deposits? There have been two views on this subject. One held by certain economists like Hartley Withers and the other held by practical bankers like Walter Leaf. According to Withers, bank can create credit by opening a deposit every time they advance a loan. This is because every time a loan is sanctioned, payment is made through checks by the customers. All such payments are adjusted through the clearing house. So long as a loan is due, a deposit of that amount remains outstanding in the books of the bank. Thus, every loan creates a deposit. But this is an exaggerated and extreme view. Dr. Leaf, Note 1, Walter Leaf, Banking, 1928, page 101-4. So Dr. Leaf and practical bankers do not agree with this view. They go to the opposite extreme. They hold that banks cannot create money out of thin air. They can lend only what they have in cash. Therefore, they cannot and do not create money. This view is also wrong because it is based on arguments relating to a single bank. As pointed out by Professor Samuelson, the banking system as a whole can do what each small bank cannot do. It can expand its loans and investment many times and new reserves of cash created for it, even though each small bank is lending out only a fraction of its deposits. Note 2. Paul A. Samuelson, Economics, 10th edition, 1976, page 301. In fact, a bank is not a cloakroom where one can keep currency notes and claim those very notes when one desires. Banks know by experience that all depositors do not withdraw their money simultaneously. Some withdraw while others deposit on the same day. So by keeping a small cash in reserve for day-to-day transactions, the bank is able to advance loans on the basis of excess reserves. When the bank advances a loan, it opens an account in the name of the customer. The bank knows by experience that the customer will withdraw money by checks, which will be deposited by his creditors in this bank or some other bank where they have their accounts. Settlements of all such checks are made in the clearing house. The same procedure is followed in other banks. The banks are able to create credit or deposits by keeping a small cash in reserves and lending the remaining amount. In granting a loan, a bank actively creates a claim against itself in favor of the borrower. The banks takes from its customers in exchange for deposits entered in the books are called banks' assets. The standard assets of a commercial bank are overdrafts and loans, bills discounted, investments and cash. Note 3. R. S. Sayers, Modern Banking, 7th edition, 1967, pages 7 and 8. Page 218. The bank provides overdraft facility to a customer on the basis of some security. It enters the amount of the overdraft in the existing account of the customer and allows him to draw checks for the overdraft amount agreed upon. It thus creates a deposit. When a bank discounts a bill of exchange, it in fact buys the bill from the customer for a short period of 90 days or less. The amount of the bill is credited in the account of the customer, who withdraws it through a check, or it pays the sum through a check on itself. In both cases, the bank creates a deposit equal to the amount of the bill of exchange less the discount charges. A commercial bank also creates a deposit by making investments by buying government bonds and securities. The bank pays for the bond through a check on itself to the central bank. If it buys a bond from the stock exchange, it credits the amount in the account of the seller, if he happens to be its customer. Otherwise, it pays a check on itself, which is deposited in some other bank. In any case, a deposit is created either in this bank or some other bank. In all such cases, liabilities and assets in the banking system on the whole are increased. Thus, loans by banks create deposits. It is in this sense that credit is created by commercial banks. The process of credit creation. Let us explain the actual process of credit creation. We have seen above that the ability of bank to create credit depends on the fact that banks need only a small percentage of cash to deposits. If banks kept 100% cash against deposits, there would be no credit creation. Modern banks do not keep 100% cash reserves. They are legally required to keep a fixed percentage of their deposits in cash, say 10, 15 or 20%. They lend and or invest the remaining amount, which is called excess reserves. A bank can lend equal to its excess reserves. But the entire banking system can lend and create credit or deposits up to a multiple of its original excess reserves. The deposit multiplier depends upon the required reserve, which is the basis of credit creation. Symbolically, the required reserve ratio, capital R small r, is equal to capital R upon capital D, or RR is equal to RRR multiplied by D, where capital R are the required cash reserves with the banks, RR small r is the required reserve ratio, and D is the demand deposits of banks. To show that D depends on RR and RRR, divide both sides of the above equation by RRR. So RR divided by RR small r is equal to RR small r multiplied by D upon RR small r, or RR divided by RR small r is equal to D, or 1 upon RR small r is equal to D upon RR, or D is equal to 1 upon RR small r multiplied by RR, where 1 upon RR small r, the reciprocal of the percentage reserve ratio, is called the deposit or credit expansion multiplier. It determines the limits of the deposit expansion of a bank. The maximum amount of demand deposits which the banking system can support with any given amount of RR is by applying the multiplier to RR. Taking the initial change in the volume of deposits delta D and in cash reserves delta RR, it follows from any given percentage of RR small r that delta D is equal to RR multiplied by 1 upon RR small r. To understand it, suppose the RR small r for the banks is fixed at 10% and the initial change in cash reserves is rupees 1000. By applying the above formula, the maximum increase in demand deposits will be delta D equal to 1000 multiplied by 1 upon 0.10, which is equal to rupees 10,000. Page 219. This is the extent to which the banking system can create credit. The above equation can also be expressed as follows. Delta D is equal to capital RR within bracket, the square bracket, 1 plus round bracket 1 minus RR end of round bracket plus within round bracket 1 minus RRR the whole square plus, and it goes on up to round bracket 1 minus RRR raised to n end of square bracket. The sum of the geometric progression within bracket gives 1 divided by 1 minus within bracket 1 minus RRR end of bracket is equal to 1 upon R R R. Therefore, delta D is equal to delta R R multiplied by 1 upon R R R. The deposit expansion multiplier rests on the assumption that banks lend out all their excess reserves and R R small r remains constant. To explain the process of credit creation, we make the following assumptions. 1. There are many banks, say A, B, C, etc. in the banking system. 2. Each bank has to keep 10% of its deposits in reserves. In other words, 10% is the required ratio fixed by law. 3. The first bank has rupees 1000 as deposits. 4. The loan amount drawn by the customer of one bank is deposited in full in the second bank and that of the second bank into the third bank, and so on. 5. Each bank starts with the initial deposit, which is deposited by the debtor of the other bank. Given these assumptions, suppose that bank A receives a cash deposit of rupees 1000 to begin with. This is the cash in hand with the bank, which is its asset, and this amount is also the liability of the bank by way of deposits it holds. Given the reserve ratio of 10%, the bank keeps rupees 100 in reserves and lends rupees 900 to one of its customers, who in turn gives a check to some person from whom he borrows or buys something. The net changes in bank A in balance sheet are plus rupees 100 in reserves and plus rupees 900 in loans on the asset side and rupees 1000 in demand deposits on the liabilities side, as shown in table 1. Before these changes, bank A had zero excess reserves. So we have a table 1 balance sheet of bank A. So on the assets side, on the left hand side, we have reserves of rupees 1000, net changes, reserves rupees 100 and loans rupees 900. On the liabilities, that is the right hand side, deposits is rupees 1000, net changes, deposits is rupees 1000. This loan of rupees 900 is deposited by the customer in bank B, whose balance sheet is shown in table 2. Bank B starts with a deposit of rupees 900, keeps 10% of it or rupees 90 as cash in reserve. Bank B has rupees 810 as excess reserve, which it lends, thereby creating new deposits. So now we have table 2, balance sheet of bank B. On the left hand side, that is assets, we have reserves rupees 900, net changes, reserves rupees 90, loans rupees 810. On the right hand side, liabilities, deposits is rupees 900, net changes, deposits is rupees 900. Page 220. This loan of rupees 810 is deposited by the customer of bank B into bank C. The balance sheet of bank C is shown in table 3. Bank C keeps rupees 81 or 10% of rupees 810 in cash reserves and lends rupees 729. So table 3, which is balance sheet of bank C, we have on the left hand side assets, reserves is rupees 810, net changes, reserves rupees 81, loans rupees 729. On the right hand side, liabilities, deposits rupees 810, net changes, deposits rupees 810. This process goes on to other banks. Each bank in the sequence gets excess reserves, lends and creates new demand deposits equal to 90% of the preceding banks. In this way, new deposits are created to the tune of rupees 10,000 in the banking system, as shown in table 4. So table 4, multiple credit creation. We have 4 columns. First is the bank, second is required reserves, third is new loans, and fourth is new deposits. The entries in the tables are as follows. In bank A, required reserves rupees 100, new loans rupees 900, new deposits rupees 1000. Bank B, required reserves rupees 90, new loans rupees 810, new deposits rupees 900. Bank C, required reserves rupees 81, new loans rupees 729, new deposits rupees 810. All other banks, required reserves rupees 729, new loans rupees 6561, new deposits rupees 7290. So total for the banking system, required reserves is rupees 1000, new loans is rupees 9000 and new deposits is rupees 10000. The multiple credit creation shown in the last column of the above table can also be worked out algebraically as rupees 1000 within square bracket 1 plus 9 upon 10 plus 9 upon 10 square plus 9 upon 10 cube and so on plus 9 upon 10 raised to n end of square bracket, which is equal to rupees 1000 within bracket 1 upon 1 minus 9 upon 10, which is equal to rupees 1000 into 1 upon 1 upon 10, which is rupees 10,000 multiplied by 10, which is rupees 10,000. Limitations on the power of banks to create credit. We have seen above how the banking system as a whole can create credit, but it does not mean that banks have unlimited powers to create credit. In fact, they have to function under certain restrictions. The following are the limitations on the power of commercial banks to create credit. 1. Amount of cash. The credit creation power of banks depends upon the amount of cash they possess. The larger the cash, the larger the amount of credit that can be created by banks. The amount of cash that a bank has in its vaults cannot be determined by it. It depends upon the primary deposits with the bank. The bank's power of creating credit is thus limited by the cash it possesses. 2. Proper securities. An important factor that limits the power of a bank to create credit is the availability of adequate securities. A bank advances loans to its customers on the basis of a security or a bill or a share or a stock or a building or some type of asset. It turns illiquid form of wealth into liquid wealth and thus creates credit. If proper securities are not available with the public, a bank cannot create credit. As pointed out by Crowther, thus the bank does not create money out of thin air. It transmutes other forms of wealth into money. 3. Banking habits of the people. The banking habits of the people also govern the power of credit creation on the part of banks. If people are not in the habit of using checks, the grant of loans will lead to the withdrawal of cash from the credit creation system of the banking system. This reduces the power of banks to create credit to the desired level. 4. Minimum legal reserve ratio. The minimum legal reserve ratio of cash to deposits fixed by the central bank is an important factor which determines the power of banks to create credit. The higher this ratio, that is RRR, the lower the power of banks to create credit, and the lower the ratio, the higher the power of banks to create credit. Page 221. 5. Excess reserves. The process of credit creation is based on the assumption that banks stick to the required reserve ratio fixed by the central bank. If the banks keep more cash in reserves than the legal reserve required, their power to create credit is limited to that extent. If Bank A, of our example, keeps 25% of rupees 1000 instead of 20%, it will lend rupees 750 instead of rupees 800. Consequently, the amount of credit creation will be reduced even if the other banks in the system stick to the legal reserve ratio of 20%. 6. Leakages. If there are leakages in the credit creation stream of the banking system, credit expansion will not reach the required level given the legal reserve ratio. It is possible that some persons who receive checks do not deposit them in their bank accounts but withdraw the money in cash for spending or for hoarding at home. The extent to which the amount of cash is withdrawn from the chain of credit expansion, the power of the banking system to create credit is limited. 7. Check clearances. The process of credit expansion is based on the assumption that checks drawn by commercial banks are cleared immediately and reserves of commercial banks expand and contract uniformly by check transactions. but it is not possible for banks to receive and draw checks of exactly equal amounts. Often, some banks have their reserves increased and others reduced through check clearances. This expands and contracts credit creation on the part of the bank. Accordingly, the credit creation stream is disturbed. 8. Behavior of other banks. The power of credit creation is further limited by the behavior of other banks. If some of the banks do not advance loans to the extent required by the banking system, the chain of credit expansion will be broken. Consequently, the banking system will not be loaned up. 9. Economic climate. Banks cannot continue to create credit limitlessly. Their power to create credit depends upon the economic climate in the country. If there are boom times, there is optimism. Investment opportunities increase and businessmen take more loans from banks. So credit expands. But in depressed times, when the business activity is at a low level, banks cannot force business community to take loans from them. Thus, the economic climate in a country determines the power of banks to create credit. 10. Credit control policy of the central bank. The power of the commercial banks to create credit is also limited by the credit control policy of the central bank. The central bank influences the amount of cash reserves with banks by open market operations, discount rate policy, and varying margin requirements. Accordingly, it affects the credit expansion or contraction by commercial banks. We may conclude that commercial banks do not possess unlimited powers to create credit. Exercises. Question 1. Explain the statement that loans create deposits. 2. Explain how loans make deposits. What are the limitations to such a credit creation by banks? Question 3. Describe the process of credit creation by commercial banks. Question 4. How do banks create credit? What are the limitations on the power of banks to create credit? With this, we come to the end of chapter 29.